If you will, go ahead in your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians. Many of you have heard me at times say how much I love this book, how it's my favorite book of the New Testament. And there's a reason for that. It's one of the only books that Paul wrote where nobody's getting chewed out. It's a spiritual book. It's a book of love. You take the book of Galatians, the book of Romans, Hebrews, if you believe Paul wrote that, and the Holy Spirit through Paul is chastising them for the Judaizing teaching that's going on. You take the book of Ephesians, and the Holy Spirit is chastising them for false beliefs concerning the church. And then you go to Corinthians, and he's chastising them for false beliefs inside the church and some of the things that they were doing wrong. But you don't have that problem with the book of Philippians. In fact, the book of Philippians simply edifies for us and makes known, makes sure that we understand that there is all sufficiency in Christ in any circumstance that we might find ourselves in. Paul established the church at Philippi. I believe it was his third missionary journey. And he praises them in this book for the depth of their faith. One of the early Christian writers, you've heard his name before probably, Polycarp, he says of the Philippian church that they were famous for their faith. This book has some characteristics that we as Christians who are walking in the light, trying to serve God, strive to have, and therefore we should all hope to be like this Philippian church. This letter that Paul writes to them is a very spiritual letter. And it's a spiritual letter filled with love and filled with joy. Basically, it's a tender tale of joy and spirituality when you consider the stories of men like Epaphroditus and others throughout the Bible. Epaphroditus being mentioned in this particular book. We'll get to him in a minute. But just a basic outline of the book of Philippians, it's four chapters. Chapter 1, he commends them for the Christ-centered life that they're living. Look at verse 11. He said, they were filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. The results of their life in Christ, the results of their work, was a full crop of righteousness. People were blessed by this church at Philippi. We don't see that much in the other writings of Paul. And then we're very familiar with the theme of chapter 2. It's basically a self-emptying life. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Again, they were doing it, something that each and every one of us strive to do. These members of the large church at Philippi evidently were doing a good job at it, and I hope we are too. Chapter 3, he's commending them for the sound life that they are leading. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's reminding them that you need, the resurrection of the dead is simply referring about Christ. He's reminding them that they need to die in Christ. This is something that had taken place in their lives, and it's something that needs to continue to take place in every Christian's life. And then chapter 4 deals with Christians, these Christians here, having a serene life. Look at verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, he's talking to these Philippians, so stand fast in the faith, or in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What you've been doing, keep doing it. Is the church your true love? If it is, then you can live the type of life that God wants you to live. He says, verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Not only did they live a serene life, but it was one of their important things concerning Christianity that they assist others in being content in Christianity also as they did with Paul. But what I want to pay attention to in a few minutes I have left is verses 18 and 19 and 20. He says, "But I have all and am found, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." This Epaphroditus had come from the church at Philippi and had brought whatever it was they sent, whatever it was Paul needed. Remember, Paul's in prison in this epistle. Sent it to him to strengthen him, to encourage him. Verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your needs." Now, this is a prayer. Some of your translations say, "May God supply all of your needs. May God supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Again, remember the circumstances. We have the Philippian letter, and what Paul is doing, he's writing a thank you letter to them. That's the way he's ending it, for what they sent via this fellow Epaphroditus, sent from Philippi. Paul was in prison, probably in Rome. Look at it, chapter 1 and verse 7. "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." Because you are a part of my needs, because you are a part of my sustenance, whatever I am doing, whoever I am conquering for the Lord here in the castle at Rome, and everybody else that I come into contact with, understand, Philippians, you are a part of it. Why? Again, because of their Christ-centered life. Look at verses 12 and 13. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Yeah, I'm in prison, but the gospel is being preached. Verse 13, "so that my bonds in Christ are manifest, are brought forth in all the palace and in all other places." So God's will is being done. God's work is being done by Paul while he was in prison, and it's being made easier by these Philippians. The brothers and sisters at Philippi, again, had sent him some gift by Epaphroditus, probably, maybe, don't know for sure, Epaphroditus was a deacon in the church at Philippi, who knows? But this brother had so given of himself in serving Paul that we don't have time to read it, but if you would read chapter 2, verses 25 through 30, you'll see that this brother, somewheres along the way, became gravely ill, but God spared him, God restored him to his health so that the strength, the encouragement can continue on its way to Paul. Look at chapter 4, verse 14. "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." I have a problem, I have a trial, I have a tribulation. You communicated, you helped with it. Again, verse 18, "But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus," basically, "what you sent." So now, if you look back at chapter 2 and verse 25, Paul is sending Epaphroditus back to Philippi, and he's bearing his note of thanks and also with personal words of specific encouragement and admonition. Chapter 2, verse 25. "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor." Evidently, he'd spent some time with him. "And fellow soldier, but your messenger, you sent him to me, and he that ministered to my wants." Verse 28. "I send him, therefore, the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation." Paul was so happy to have Epaphroditus with him, but all things must come to an end. Even though he was his fellow laborer, he was his strength, he was in his encouragement. In this period of time that Paul was in prison, it was now ready in time for Epaphroditus to go back. And again, thank you, Philippi. Thank you for sending him my way. May God supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Trials and tribulations, help. We all receive them through our periods as Christians. We all go through things. Brethren come to our aid. Sometimes community comes to our aid. But they're all answers to prayer. Paul prayed for his problems. Paul prayed for his afflictions. Philippi was one of these answers. Epaphroditus was one of these answers. And because of this, Paul continued to pray. And in his prayer, he did not say, woe is me. He did what? He let them know that may God be glorified. The question we leave each and every one of us with tonight, in your life, in my life, in your prayers, in my prayers, are we glorifying God? Are we just continually saying, God, please give me this. God, please give me that. Or are we like Paul? Lord, thank you for the church at Philippi. Philippi, thank you for sending Epaphroditus to me and for the gift that you sent with him. Is God glorified in your life? Remember James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father, in whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. Brothers and sisters, it's not going to change. Every good thing in your life is going to continue to come from God. Therefore, in return, we should always glorify God in our life, in our prayers, in the very fiber of our being. Are you doing this? If not, maybe a change needs to be made. Maybe you're a Christian who at one time in his life walked in the light and glorified God, but for some reason the world has pulled you away. Don't let it continue. Come back to the Lord. Maybe you're one who's never obeyed Christ, never been able to understand the love of a church like Philippi, or the love of a brother like Paul or Epaphroditus. Oh, that you would just realize what you're missing and obey the gospel. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Allow yourself to be buried in the waters of baptism. If you have a need, you may have a need, but if you do, why not think about coming forward as we stand and as we sing?